Jesus, we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Get your Bibles. It's a sweet spirit in this place. Praise and worship makes a difference. It changes the atmosphere. When you worship God, you're actually welcoming God in a place. Now, he was already here because God is omnipresent. But when you worship him, you let him know that we want him here. And when you let God know that you want him here, he begins to manifest himself. You begin to not only know he's here, but you begin to feel that he's here. I don't know about you, but you know, sometimes I want to feel God in the place. Ain't nothing wrong with feeling God in the place. I'm not moved by my feelings now. But if God want to touch me, I'm open to his touch. Amen. Tonight, I want to talk to you about apostolic posturing. In other words, how do I posture myself to receive the most from the apostolic? The apostolic meaning the government of God. Apostolic meaning the direction of God. Apostolic meaning the leading of God. There are three things that I came to realize, and they became musts in my life. This is things I had to do in my life to posture myself for the apostolic. There are things that wouldn't have happened in my life if I wouldn't have postured myself for the apostolic. The apostolic can only be expressed, or the government of God can only be expressed through a human. So there's no such thing as being a part of the government or being involved in the government of God without being under the authority of somebody expressing the apostolic. It's impossible to do. Nowhere in the Bible can you find anybody that was a part of the apostolic without being submitted to an apostle. Impossible. So, matter of fact, this is one of my favorite examples of God establishing the apostolic in such a way. We're not going to go to it tonight, and I wasn't planning on going to it, but you can read it at your own leisure. I think it's Exodus, where God, Miriam, who was, as people like to say in current, in today's terms, was Moses' prayer leader. And she the one actually prayed for Moses while he was a baby, floating in the Nile. Prayed for Moses while Moses was in Pharaoh's house. Prayed for Moses when Moses was making the transition from out of Pharaoh's house into the kingdom of God, into what God wanted, called him to do. And she made a statement that, Moses, you're not the only one that can hear from God. We can hear from God also. And what is so significant about that particular passage is that you first have to understand the tabernacle, how the tabernacle was built. There was the tabernacle, then there was the inner courts of the tabernacle. In the inner courts of the tabernacle is where the presence of God rested. And so priests would have to go into the tabernacle. They would have an area in the tabernacle in which they would wash themselves, clean themselves, and dress themselves a certain way so that they can go into the holies of holies. That's the inner tabernacle, to the holies of holies, to make presentations to the presence of God on behalf of the people. All right? So God would never leave the holies of holies. Priests had to go in to the tabernacle, get themselves clean, go through a whole ceremony of washing themselves, dress properly, then go into the Holies of Holies to make sacrifices on the behalf of the people. Well, in this particular instance, which is very strange, and you have to know this to see the significance of this, when Miriam made that statement to Moses, God told them to meet in the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, or in the vicinity of the tabernacle. And the Bible says that God came to the door of the tabernacle. Now, what's so significant about God coming to the door of the tabernacle? That means God left the Holies of Holies and came and met Miriam, Aaron, and Moses at the door of the tabernacle and began to deal with the apostolic, his government, his divine order. He told Miriam, you're out of order for doing that. I will speak to Moses and Moses alone. Are you seeing this? So my point for saying it is God wanted to establish divine order so much that he himself came out of the Holies of Holies, in which he wasn't supposed to leave because he was because of the sin of man. But to get this straight, to get this corrected, God met them at the door of the tabernacle. So my point for saying it is that the apostolic functioning or the government of God has to be expressed in human form. Now, saying that, it is not the human that makes the difference of the apostolic, it's the apostolic that makes a difference on the human. So it's not so much that we are submitted to a human, but we are submitted to the office that the human walks in. Is that clear? And so it's impossible. Now, God made this thing airtight. If I don't honor the human that is walking in the office, then I won't be able to access the benefits of the office. That's like me not honoring Chantel, but I want the wifely duties from her. Are you seeing this? See, I have to, in order for her to walk in the office as my wife, I have to honor her. If I disrespect her, then I can't expect to get the benefits of her being my wife. So if I don't honor the human that is in the office, then I can't expect the benefit from the benefit. I can't expect the benefits from the apostolic order. I can't expect the benefit from the apostolic benefits. I can't expect to receive nothing from the apostolic if I don't honor the human that's in the office. Is that making sense? Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th verse. This talking about Jesus says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the Bible says, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Other words, the government is established on Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the foundation of the divine order of God. It's based on Jesus Christ and him crucified. So go to John 15 chapter with me real quick, and then I'm going to give you the three things that I had to realize and that are must in my life. I had to acknowledge. See, the apostolic is more about acknowledging and accepting and being willing. I'm going to say it again. The apostolic is about acknowledging, accepting, and being willing. If I don't acknowledge certain things, then I cannot position myself to accept those things. If I don't accept those things, then I can't be willing to do those things. So the apostolic is about acknowledging, accepting, and being willing. John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter, verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken to you. Listen to this. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So now, Jesus is saying without him, we can do nothing, right? The government is upon his shoulders, right? So can we say that if I'm not ready to yield to the government that is on his shoulders, then I cannot be, watch this, I cannot function in him. Let me say it this way. I can't fully operate in faith unless I'm willing to yield to the apostolic government. If faith is the word of God, right? And the word of God is Jesus, then how can I operate in something that I'm not willing to yield to? Are you seeing this? I can see, once again, faith cannot be a self-centric idea. Other words, when I mean self-centric, I mean it cannot be an idea in which my faith can only satisfy things I need. My faith is only used to get what I need. That is not what faith for. Faith can do that, but the original purpose of faith is to fulfill the will of God. The original purpose of faith is to bring God's dreams to pass, not yours. Oh, that's Hebrews 11 and 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, hope, dream, future plans, some goals. It's the evidence of things, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So if my faith in that sixth verse of Hebrews 11 chapter, my faith pleases God. Then if my faith pleases God, then I got to go back to the first verse and see that my faith, the original purpose of my faith is to bring the dreams of God to pass, not my dreams. So therefore, how can I bring the dreams of God to pass if I'm not willing to yield to his apostolic government? Is this making sense? There are three things that I realized that I had to do in order to posture myself to receive from the apostolic. One, I must realize that God has placed the apostle in my life to cover me with authority and lead me with authority and lead me in authority. And I have to choose to receive it. I'm going to read it again. Number one, I must realize, now I'm talking to me. Talking to myself. So if I'm talking to me, y'all listening in. I must realize that God has placed the apostle in my life to cover me with authority. Understand that. Cover me with authority. That means that there is a power that is released when I am covered by the apostle. A power that I can't release on my own. Are you seeing this? So she covers me with authority. In other words, an apostle exudes authority. There are some apostles that exude authority over certain territories. There are certain apostles that exude authority over certain functions. But they exude, they are the very epitome of authority. And so I need to be covered. I need to realize I need to be covered by an apostle so that I can be covered with authority. So that when Satan shows up in my life and tries to detour me from going where God has called me to go, I can rest in the fact that I know that I am covered by God's authority. I must realize that God has placed the apostle in my life to cover me with authority and lead me with that authority and lead me in authority. So I have to choose that. I have to be willing. These are acknowledgments that we have to make. Number two, I must realize that God speaks to the apostle that's in my life things that I don't have supernatural clearance to hear. Now that's where we start dealing with the Adamic nature of man. Let me explain myself when I mean the Adamic nature of man, or the nature of man that came from Adam. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. The Adamic nature of man. The Adamic nature of man is the very nature that will try to stop you from walking in the apostolic. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 26. Very familiar scripture. It's God talking, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So God made man in his image. So that means that God made man a replica of him, meaning a replica of him able to contain, walk in, and produce the authority that God has. But here's the thing. God created man to walk in authority along with him. So in order for that to happen, God had to give man a choice whether he wanted to or not. Because otherwise, we're slaves. If the tree of the knowledge of good and evil had not been in the garden to give Adam that choice, then we are now slaves. And we have no choice but to walk in authority with God. But so that the very nature of God can reside in us, the very nature of God is love, he put that there so we can choose. So the Adamic nature of Adam caused him to choose to try to walk in authority some other way. God was not trying to stop Adam and Eve from walking in authority, or God was not even trying to stop them from learning about evil. See, that's one of the misconceptions we have about God and the Garden of Eden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If God didn't want us to know about evil, why did he put a tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden? He put the tree there so we can have a choice of how we wanted to learn it. Because you got to remember, Eden was not covering the whole earth. It was a section of the earth. The rest of it, all right, if it wasn't, come on, Bible lesson. It was a section of the earth. Because if Eden covered the whole earth, when God expelled them, where did they go? What was supposed to happen is Adam and Eve was supposed to learn how to walk in this authority and dominion from God, and then God was going to release them with his covering into the outer darkness. See, you don't want to be released into outer darkness unless you cover. Yes, see, Satan tries to lead us into outer darkness without our covering. That's why he wants us to disrespect the human that's carrying, that's walking in the office of the covering. Because he wants us, see, this system is unforgiving. Y'all know this system is unforgiving. This world system is unforgiving. This world system will jack you up and will not apologize. That statement is true. The world don't owe you nothing. So the world act like it don't owe you nothing. It will take this from you and say, make it the best way you can. It'll cause this to happen to you until you work your way out of it. But there's a difference that can happen in your life when the world system comes to you and tries to take something from you and you're covered. See, there is an authority that is there that the world system has to bow down to. Yes. So watch this. So I must realize that God speaks to the apostle that's in my life things that I don't have supernatural clearance to hear. Very plainly, our apostle is going to hear things in a supernatural that we can't hear. I have to realize that. I must acknowledge that. See, if I don't acknowledge that, then that means I'm going to be walking around trying to hear something that I do not have supernatural clearance to hear. Now, I don't see how we don't understand that. The CIA understands it. The FBI understands it. Those of you that was in the armed forces, they understand it. If you ain't on a certain security clearance, it's certain information that you are not privy to. Where do you think they got that from? There are certain things that the Holy Spirit is going to tell Apostle Thompson that he's not going to tell me. I don't have the supernatural clearance to hear it. But here's the wonderful thing about it. When I am submitted to covering, when he hears it, I hear it. So I don't have to let that Adamic nature in me rise up and say I need to hear it for myself. There are some things and directions God told the children of Israel, I'm show my ways to Moses and the acts to the children. See, there are some things that Apostle Thompson is going to see that you just don't have clearance to see. And frankly, to be honest, I don't need to see him. Because if he see it, see, watch this. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. I don't do nothing he don't tell me to do. I don't say nothing he don't tell me to say. There is a power in becoming one. When we become one, whatever apostle sees, we see. So because I'm connected to that covering, that matter of fact, watch this. I not only don't have to see it, I don't even have to be aware of it. Because of the covering. Because of the covering. All I have to be concerned with is, am I submitted to the covering? Am I in the government of God? Am I yielding to the apostolic? Is this making sense? I must realize that God speaks to the apostle that's in my life things that I don't have supernatural clearance to hear. See, these are things that you have to acknowledge. See, if you don't acknowledge these things, then you leave room for the devil to play with your Adamic nature. That say, I can figure this out another way. That I got power to get this done. Well, that's fine and dandy, but there is no power outside of government. There's people that tried to walk into power outside of government. Seven sons of Sceva. Oh, they said the right lingo. That demon looked at them and said, Jesus, I know. Who else he said? Paul. I'm glad he said Paul. So we can't just say, oh, Jesus, the Son of God, that's the only one we recognize. Nah, that demon recognized apostolic government. Number three. I must realize that I have to understand this authority before I can walk in it. Now, understand, that's go to Proverbs, the fourth chapter. And understand is not not you trying to find clarity or get a clear picture of the authority, because you're not going to understand. Listen, there's some things that I've had to do that apostle gave me instructions to do that when I told, I had to give instructions for somebody and they say, why? I say, I don't know. This is what apostle said. I don't understand. This is what he said to do. This is what he said to do. This is what we got to do. I don't understand why. Other words, I didn't have any clarity or I didn't have any further foresight to even know. So you're going to have to understand this authority, not understand how it functions. What I have to understand? I have to understand that God established this authority and that I have to accept it in my life. Now, here's the wonderful thing about the apostolic. I love about the apostolic. It's a choice. It's a choice. You don't have to do nothing. I mean, you don't. I mean, God told Adam and Eve, you know, don't eat off this tree. But he put it there so they can have a choice. So you can choose. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But here's how the apostolic operates. I can't choose to be submitted to the apostolic, then in submission, tell the apostolic how it's going to cover me. See, I can't eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then tell God how I'm going to do in the Garden of Eden. See, so I have to understand this authority. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. Understand. We use the word understanding as to try to get clarity on something. You know, so you quickly say, well, somebody talking to you and they might be talking to you about an algebra problem or whatever. You like, man, I just don't understand this. Or you talking about chemistry or they trying to explain the situation to you like, I'm just not understanding this. I'm not getting a clear picture. But what we haven't done is we have never broken down the word understand. What is Proverbs 4 and 7? What it says, wisdom is the principal thing. What it says, therefore get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Now, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Wisdom is not necessarily the accumulation of knowledge. Wisdom is knowing how to do what you know. You got people that know a lot of stuff, but ain't got no wisdom. So here it says, wisdom is the principal thing, knowing how to do something, especially godly wisdom. And it says, it's the principal thing. Right? So get wisdom. And it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. Now let's break this word down. Understand. Now we jump to clarity and say, I need to, if God give me wisdom, I need to understand it. No, that's not what that's saying. Let's break the words, compound word. Understand. Two words, understand. So that means that in order for clarity to come, then I'm going to have to stand under. That's talking about submission. So wisdom is the principal thing. So get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. James 1 and 5. Go there. So this is what I'm talking about, understanding this authority. Make sure we can clearly see what understand means. See, you can understand what you want. You can understand algebra. You can understand chemistry. If you watch this, if you take the time, you can understand nuclear physics. The problem is that you're not willing to submit your current reasoning to their facts. So if you don't submit your current reasoning, the way you think, to the way they think, you ain't going to understand. So of course it's not going to be clear to you. See, if you want to, now there's some things, I just don't understand. There's some things I'm not standing under. There's some thoughts and frame of minds I'm not standing up. For instance, I don't understand homosexuality. I just don't understand it. No matter how you paint the picture, no matter how much you say they fit, they feel it like they are, they everybody hate them. They feel disenfranchised. They feel, I just don't understand. You can't make me understand that. You just can't. I'm not standing under that concept. I refuse to submit my current reasoning to their train of thought. Y'all starting to see what understand does. So if somebody comes to me with some foolishness and expect me to accept it, I like, I don't understand. Oh, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're trying to say, but I'm not standing under that. I'm not about to submit myself to this foolishness. Are you seeing this? So me having to, watch this, I must realize that I have to understand this authority. Other words, I have to take my current reasoning, the current way I think, and I have to take it and bring it under the apostolic authority. If I don't take my current reasoning and submit it, now, sometimes that's a challenge. That is a challenge because sometimes we have to allow the apostolic to take its time and function, and it might not be on our time schedule. For instance, in the LTMA, the 12 got together, and we was trying to get wisdom on how can we become more efficient in functioning the apostolic. How can we get ourselves positioned better, posturing for the receive the benefits of being an apostolic? How can we draw more out of apostle? So the 12, I forgot which one it was, it was on the phone. They said, you know, let's do this. Let's all of us some of us may be called to be apostles, prophets, whatever. When we're in the presence of Apostle Thompson and when we coming together, we land our titles on the side. Anybody who comes in the LTMA and say they are an apostle, they have to take that title, whether God called them to be an apostle or not, and lay it on the side. Right. Because when I laid it on the side, what I'm doing is I am understanding this authority so that I can be trained properly, so that when the time is right, the apostle can turn around and tell me, pick that title up. You can now function in it. So sometimes in our lives, we have to allow the apostolic to stop us from doing some things, to push us to do some things, to encourage us, to tell us no, to tell us yes, to tell us you ain't hearing from God. I have to understand this authority. Go with me to Matthew's. I want to give you a couple examples of Jesus saying something about faith that shocked me when I read them earlier this week. Matthew's, the 8th chapter. And we almost finish. I must realize that God has placed the apostle in my life to cover me with authority and lead me with that authority and lead me in authority. And I have to choose to receive it. Yes, sir. I must realize that God speaks to the apostle that's in my life things that I don't have supernatural clearance to hear. I must realize that I have to understand this authority before I can walk in it. Matthew's the 8th chapter, and we'll start at the 5th verse. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, watch this, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now see, the significance of that is this man was trying to separate the current Roman political authority of that time from the kingdom authority. He said, Jesus, now you know the political climate here. I'm a centurion. If you come to my house, you're going to be under my roof. When you're under my roof as a centurion, you're under my authority. He said, nah, Jesus, watch this. He said, the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Watch this, now, watch what he said. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, goeth, and he goeth, and to another, cometh, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth this. Jesus, I understand that the same authority that I have in the natural, you have in the supernatural. So I don't want to let my natural stop your supernatural from working. So don't come under my roof, because I need to stay under you. See, here's a man in authority, understanding the authority of Jesus and the apostolic. Are you seeing this? Come, he said, I say to this man, goeth, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, watch what Jesus did. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Wait a minute. Jesus is equating faith to this man submitting to his authority. That means that this man trusted Jesus enough that we're not about to get this Roman politics. We might not get this Roman politics mixed up with the kingdom of God. We're going to keep these things separate, because right now there's Roman politics. This Roman government ain't helping me. This Roman government ain't helping me. So I need to get under a government that can help me. I need to get under an authority that can do something about my situation. Jesus marveled and said, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel. Go with me to Matthew's the 9th chapter. We close it here. Matthew, the 9th chapter. And verse 20. See, let me read this one backwards. Go to verse 22. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Watch this. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, we read that scripture, and when we read that scripture, we get stuck on our faith. But we forget to realize what happened before Jesus said that and what she did. Scenario, set it up. This woman had an issue of blood. During that time, when women had bleeding problems, they could not come into the city. They could not come into the city. It was against the law. They couldn't come into the city. So here it is, this woman had made up her mind that she was going into the city, and if she can get to Jesus, now watch this, and touch the hem of his garment. This is significant. Touch the hem of his garment, she said, I'll be made whole. Watch this, let's read it. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. Now let's paint the picture. Hem of Jesus' garment. I can't pronounce the words, they're Hebrew, but the Jewish men dressed in that day. They had tunics. A tunic, and it'd be like a shawl, like a, excuse me for saying this way, it'd be like a poncho. You know how it got the hole in the center? You put it over your head and it hangs over? Well, it would be a tunic where it would be just in the front and in the back. And it would hang all the way to their ankles. At the end of it, they had some ribbons on the end of it that would, on the four corners, this corner, that corner of the tunic, this corner, and this corner. And it, I think it's 600 and I think 13 knots. It was the law. How many laws they had, that's how many strings that it turned out to be in those knots. And it represented the law of Moses, that Moses and the Jewish men would wear that. So Jesus was wearing that. So this woman with the issue of blood was simply saying, if I can get to the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Now watch the significance of this. Not only did the woman deny current laws, but when she got to Jesus, she touched the hem, or she touched the ribbons, the strings at the bottom of his garment. Other words, she had to make the effort to go into submission to touch the hem of his garment. And when she touched, the Bible says, when she touched the hem of his garment, virtue went out of Jesus. That's when Jesus turned around and started talking to the disciples. I think it's in Luke. He started talking to the disciples and said, man, look, virtue went out of me. Who touched me? They just as clueless as they could be. They say, Jesus, all these people around you and you won't know the access. Who touched you? Jesus said, no, somebody touched me differently. See, this woman chose to take her current reasoning and make it stand under the reasoning of Jesus. Stand under the authority of Jesus. So much that she publicly displayed it. So she had to get to the, see, because the tassels are below the ankle. So in order to get to the ankle, she had to get on the ground. I mean, physically get on the ground, approach Jesus in a humble manner, in a submissive manner, and touch his garment. And that's when the power came out. So listen here. I don't think she really cared what anybody was thinking when she was on the ground. I really don't think she was concerned about how other people say, oh, you serving that man? You doing this? I don't think she was really concerned about that, because all she know is when she submitted, or she understood the reasoning of Jesus, that when she touched the hem, the very bottom of his garment, in a submissive, in a yielded position, power came out. And the Bible says she was made whole within that self-same hour. Are you seeing this? I must understand this authority. Take my current reasoning. I don't know why Apostle got us. Why are we singing these songs like this? I don't know half the words. Why is he doing it this way? Why we can't have just a regular service? Why I'm scared to bring some people sometime, because I'm not sure. Why Apostle don't do things in the same order? Why we can't have praise and worship? Why we can't just have praise and worship, then they welcome, he preached the word, and then we go home? Why is it they tell me that we're going to have communion on second Sunday, but then all of a sudden we don't have communion on second Sunday? Are you seeing this? And see, what happens is Satan's objective is to get your current reasoning not to understand. And the only way he can get you not to understand is that he feeds you some other junk. See, that's why you have to guard your thoughts. You have to guard who you hang around. See, listen, I ain't hanging around nobody who won't allow me to submit to the apostolic. Anybody, now, for me, ain't nobody trying me anyway, because if they don't know who I am, they try it. Quick story, make you laugh. I was sitting in a barbershop about 3 years ago. And then I'm closing on Make You Laugh, 3 years ago. And I'm getting my hair cut. Another guy in another chair getting his hair cut. And I'm just sitting there, I'm talking to my barber, and all of a sudden they got on the subject of finances. I don't know how they did it. They just got on the subject of finances. And the other guy in the other chair said, yeah, man, they got this man down there in Darryl taking all them people money. And I had a dude in front of me waiting to get a chair that I knew. And he kind of looked at me like, guys would say, this dude don't know who you, I mean, he don't know who you are. I mean, and man, he went in for like 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, he driving all these cars, he taking all them people money and all that kind of craziness and whatnot. And I and my barber was getting nervous. And I told, I say, man, just chill out. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. He don't know what he's talking about. Just don't worry about it. And he kept on. So about 2 minutes in, I really started needing Jesus to intervene. I really needed him to remind me that I'm saved. And so what I did was I say, man, look, I say, saved, bro. You never know who around you, man. You never know who you're around, dude. Man, you know, I would chill out with that. You know, you never been to the man church. Just chill out, man. I wouldn't talk all that because you really don't know me. And man, he kept going in and kept going in until my barber got so mad. My barber say, man, this man's son you talking about sitting in this chair. And so the dude, he froze. Literally froze. And, I mean, the dude cut his hair, had to really just hurry him and cut his hair. And he kind of paid and eased on out the barbershop. And so when he left, some other guys that I grew up with around, they're like, man, listen, we know you saved for real. Because you sit there and let that man talk about your daddy like that, and you were kept calm and kept, and I had a chance to minister to all those guys in the barbershop and tell him it's the love of God, that it really don't matter what he said because he don't know it's the love of God that covers me. But my point is, you can't hang around nobody that talks against what you believe. You can't hang around nobody. I ain't hanging around cousins. I ain't hanging around sisters, brothers. I ain't hanging around nobody that talk against what I believe. Are you seeing this? Because they will affect your ability to understand or stand under this authority. Stand to your feet. Let's give God some praise.